Last week, Netflix announced a new parental leave policy that would allow mothers and fathers unlimited time off for the first year of their child's life. And now Adobe and Microsoft have also expanded their parental leave policies. Adobe offering 26 and Microsoft 20 weeks. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 8.5 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Wednesday, August 12th. We will talk with a guest expert about the impact generous policies like these could have on families. We will wonder if this is a positive or maybe just a very limited trend. We'll also wonder if we should leave family leave up to private businesses to do what is best for that business, or if this some sort of paid family leave should be mandated by the government. And we will wonder what you think. And we'll wonder what kind of parental leave policy your workplace offers and what would you like it to be. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Kay Heimowitz, a senior fellow with the Manhattan Institute. She's the author of many books, most recently, Manning Up, How the Rise of Women Has Turned Men into Boys. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
So what was your reaction to Netflix announcing this new policy?
Well, my reaction was that if I were a little younger, I would send in an application right away. So, I mean, it's a very, very appealing arrangement that they're proposing here or that they're instituting. I don't see how anybody wouldn't be thrilled to have access to it. Let me just clarify for your listeners. They are giving a full year paid leave where an employee can design their own schedule. They can go on full leave for 4 months, come back part-time for six. They can do something much less. They can go on leave for 2 months and come back full-time after that, if that's what they so want. So it's completely up to them, and it's a very, very nice arrangement and perhaps the most generous that I've heard of in this country.
Yeah, so why do you think Netflix did this?
Well, I think it's good business thinking. There are a number of benefits for Netflix, for one thing, and most importantly, they are trying to lure some of the top talent in the tech industry, and they are competing against other companies that are also doing very nice arrangements for their young parents. The only thing, what's on their minds, of course, they're not doing this out of the goodness of their heart, is that they can attract a lot of top people by doing this. Remember also that the tech industry has been under a lot of fire for not being more female-friendly. This changes that calculation quite a bit. And I think also we can't underestimate the PR factor here. This looks very, very good for Netflix. I happened to see the website where they made the announcement, and the comments were on the order of, I will always be a Netflix customer. So you can see there's a PR element of this as well.
So Adobe and Microsoft very shortly thereafter unveiled expanded policies themselves. As mentioned, Adobe 26 weeks of leave, Microsoft 20 weeks of leave. Not quite as generous, but did Netflix start a trend here?
This is something of an arms race. As I said before, there's a lot of competition out there for the top people, and particularly the top women. There are nowhere near as many women graduating with degrees in tech areas, and the competition is fierce for the best of them. So I think that it was inevitable that, and will continue to be so, for companies that are competing with Netflix to try to make their jobs look even more appealing.
Their policies are less generous than Netflix. Is this a sign that Netflix went too far?
Well, it's hard to know. I mean, it was interesting to see the response to the next Netflix decision, because it wasn't all positive from people you might expect it to be very happy about it. One thing thing people said, and I think there's some truth to this, is that when you give the choice up to workers, there tends to be a race to the top. That is, if you are very interested in moving ahead in a company and you have a child and you know that you have an automatic 6 months off, you'll take it. But if your company says, well, you can take what you need, what you want, and you are competing with the gal down the hallway or the guy down the hallway, you're going to be tempted to come back in 2 months. So I think people are sensing that this is a lovely thing. But for those people who are really very motivated, it doesn't necessarily mean a year off.
Yeah, and maybe it should be noted, if I understand it correctly, that the Netflix policy affects salaried workers, not, for instance, the janitorial staff.
That's right, and that's a very, very important point here, is that the Cadillac policies for new parents are always going to be for high-skilled workers, because those are the workers that these companies are most interested in competing for. When it comes to low-skilled workers, and this is a difficult truth, they are somewhat interchangeable. That's not to say that they're not low-skilled workers that are very valued employees. They frequently are. But in general, you can find somebody to work in the cafeteria if you need to. It's much harder to find somebody who has the kinds of skills that are at the top of a business like Netflix.
So why is parental leave so important to families in the first place?
Well, for obvious reasons, it's important to be with your baby when you first have a child. There's a lot of bonding that has to take place. There's a recovery that women have to endure. I have a daughter who just had a cesarean section 2 weeks ago, and she is, still not quite herself, and she's also trying to take care of a newborn. So there are health issues, but I think psychologists and child development theorists are pretty clear on this, and the research has been confirmed it over and over again that there's a great benefit to both children and mothers and fathers to have a lot of good time together in the early months.
Yeah. So typically, though, a woman in this country will often take 6 weeks off, but that's not even necessarily paid, and then it's back to work, or you don't have a job?
Well, it's hard to say what's typical. We, as you know, and as everybody is always hammering about, we don't have a federal system. Sometimes that's stated in kind of misleading ways, so that you'll hear that the United States is the only country in the world that doesn't give maternity leave or paternity leave for its citizens. That is true when you're thinking about the federal law. However, a number of states have laws, and of course individual companies have policies that vary quite a bit. So it's a little hard to say what's typical. California, Rhode Island, and I believe it's Washington state now have maternity leave policies or parental leave policies that are paid. And the one in California, which started many years ago, I think it was in 2004, has actually been studied and shown to work fairly well for both businesses and employees. It is, however, only 6 weeks of paid leave. You can take another 6 weeks, but it will not be paid.
Yeah. Is there any significance that Netflix is covering both mothers and fathers?
Well, sure. Sure, I think that's a sign of a huge change. Certainly, as industry started to realize that if they wanted to keep their top people, they were going to have to introduce some kinds of leave policies. And I, certainly know of others, not just in the tech industry, by the way. There are white shoe law firms that have such. Large banks also have very generous leaves in some cases. Once that became clear, they were introducing it mostly for women because 10 years ago, people were just not talking about paternity leave quite as much. But as you know, this generation of the young millennials, they're very focused on the daddy piece of the child rearing as well. They want to be very engaged parents, and they have high expectations about that. So, yes, it is a sign of a big change, a cultural change, I think.
We are talking with Kay Heimowitz, senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute. She is analyzing with us the significance of Netflix announcing a new parental leave policy that allows mothers and fathers unlimited time off for the first year of their child's life. More after the news. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. We are talking about parental leave policies in light of Netflix last week announcing a new parental leave policy that gives mothers and fathers unlimited time off for the first year of their child's life. Adobe and Microsoft have followed suit with expanded parental leave policies. We are talking with an expert on families and childhood about the impact these policies might have on families, and talking about whether this is going to be a new trend that businesses will be offering much more generous paid parental leave policies. We'll also talk with our guest as to whether or not the federal government should mandate paid family leave for workers. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. What do you think? And what kind of parental leave does your workplace offer? What do you wish it did offer? Do you think the U.S. should require employers to offer paid leave? What do you think of Netflix offering this year of paid leave, up to a year of paid leave? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Joe in Milwaukee is with us. Hi, Joe.
Hi. I guess the thing that I found strange when the program was announced, the fact that, you know, these companies are beginning to offer this paid leave, that such has been the case, legal case, in many Western countries, Canada, Scandinavia, France, Germany, for many, many years, as there's a combination of both government subsidies for it as well as, obviously, but this is required. So, you know, it's kind of, I think it's unfortunate, this country, I don't know if we're not aware of what's happening in the rest of the world, but people, this announcement, you know, as I say, the subject of the program wouldn't even be relevant in most of the Western countries because it's already a fact.
All right. Kay Heimowitz?
Well, that's true. As I said before, we do not have a federal policy that mandates leave. Actually, that's not entirely true. We do have the Family Medical Leave Act, which requires businesses to give people 12 weeks off after an illness or to take care of a sick family member, also if there's a new child at home. But that is unpaid. So it is true that we do not have the same federal system. I don't think it's so much that people don't know what's going on elsewhere, but that the United States has a very different kind of tradition in terms of a central government. Remember that a lot of these countries, Canada probably not included, but a lot of the countries that we hear about, Sweden, Norway, places like that, are about the size of Wisconsin, or possibly even less. They have a very, very homogeneous population, and there's much more agreement and cohesiveness about these kinds of policies. We've had a much more loosely federalized arrangement that gives states a lot of power, number one, and states, as I mentioned before, are beginning to take the initiative on this issue on family leave. And we also are much more attentive to business creation. And the truth is, if you are a business person who's just starting a new company, and you have, let's say, 20 employees, and you have the requirement of a year off for new employees in your new business, you're going to have problems getting off the ground. And United States is does put that concern probably a little higher than a lot of other places, but we also see more new business creation and more employment, or at least we did up until the recession. I think things have changed a lot.
You know, we had a Central Time, our afternoon drive show, had a guest on from the Center for Work-Life Law in California, who said that the best solution is really a parental leave that is mandated or financed at the federal level rather than relying on the market to deliver what this group called a basic benefit of citizenship. What's your thought on that?
Yeah, I think that is a problem. It sounds great. You know, who wouldn't want a government that assures them of months off when they have a baby, and of money to pay for that? That sounds great. But somebody's got to pay for it. And you also have to ask, what is the effect on the growth of business? And yes, in the United States, we are much more concerned with that. We are a country that puts a lot of emphasis on business dynamism. We want to see new growth in businesses. We also have, I should mention, we also have a very large number of low-skilled workers who are coming in, who are either born here or come in every year from other countries, and who are, as I mentioned before, sad as it is, somewhat interchangeable. And it is really a problem for businesses to be at a low profit margin, to then have to temporarily replace somebody who is, frankly, not that valuable to them. And the United States has the position that has, and I think there's pressure to change this, as the guest that you're talking about from the other day suggested, has taken the position that let businesses decide how to handle this. I know that that really does affect low-skilled workers in a negative way, but I'm not sure that the alternative wouldn't also affect them in a negative way, for the simple reason that you're going to have fewer jobs available with fewer companies developed.
Yeah, you know, Wisconsin legislators at one point during our state budget discussion just that recently concluded discussed getting rid of the state's family leave policy because they thought it would be easier just to use the federal one, which was unpaid. People in Wisconsin, some people were upset because the Wisconsin policy was more generous than the federal unpaid policy. So Wisconsin almost axed its local policy just to follow the unpaid one on the federal level.
Yeah, but notice in that case that actually the system worked to a degree, because what happened was you had a local government, state government, deciding that they wanted to go in a different direction, but the people who have more say over their Wisconsin officials than they do over federal officials, let's face it, said no, that's not what we want, and they backed off. So I do think there's something to be said for state experimentation on this. We are watching carefully to see what's happening. In California and Rhode Island, by the way, it was New Jersey, not Washington, that also has a paid leave program now. Let's see how those are working. Let's see what other states come up with. That's fine. But I think it's very important that we have the flexibility that a federal mandate would not give us.
I'm Joy Cardine talking with Kay Heimowitz, who is a senior fellow with the Manhattan Institute. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Wondering what kind of parental leave your workplace offers. What do you think of Netflix announcing a new parental leave policy that would allow 1 year off, unlimited time off for the first year following a child's birth or adoption. Whether you think the federal government, or the state government for that matter, should mandate paid leave. Let us know your thoughts or your questions. Jerry in Lake Mills is with us. Hi, Jerry.
Good morning. I object to this program vehemently unless it's across the board for everyone. Otherwise, it discriminates against single people and childless couples. I have worked in these kind of offices where there are people that have children. And at the drop of a hat, they get the call. They disappear for the rest of the day to pick up that child and stay home the next day or a week, whatever. And everyone else is obligated to pick up their workload. Unless this is... after all, having a child is a personal decision, and I just don't think that the rest of the work staff should be obligated to pick up the workload. And we know, we're pretty sure anyway, that the employer will not hire another replacement for that worker who is absent for a year.
Yeah, is that typically the case, Kay?
I don't know whether that's typically the case. What I do know is that your caller is describing for us what is inevitable. There are always costs to policies that sound so obvious and appealing. Somebody's going to pay for it. And what the caller is saying is that in many, many cases, the people who are paying for it are the workers who are not taking leave. And I'm sure that's true. Now, you know, these are a matter of these questions and these policy decisions are a matter of trade-offs. Which do you think is most important? Now, my own view, and it's one that's shared across the board in developed countries, as your callers have been saying, is that there is something that we want to privilege about child rearing, about having children. I mean, after all, this is the next generation who will be paying for our Medicare and Social Security, or taking care of us in the future. So my feeling is, yeah, those people do deserve and should have, for the benefit of the whole society, time to raise their children the best way possible. But there will be a cost for those who don't. I think the whole idea of children, it is, being a personal decision, it is a personal decision, but it's also children are also a social good, and we will all benefit from a healthy, a healthy fertility level.
Peter on Facebook says, this will widen the pay gap because women will disproportionately take advantage of the extra leave time, reducing their experience. And you wrote a piece, a couple years ago, based on the Nordic countries' family leave. It was headlined, Longer Maternity Leave, Not So Great for Women After All.
Yeah, I mean, this is actually a really interesting point and confirms the issue that I've been hammering about, that is that there are trade-offs here. People often point to places like Sweden and Norway where there are very, very lavish and generous leave policies, particularly for women. And, it seems to, from studies that have been done, seems to hold women back from moving up the career ladder. In fact, the wage gap in Sweden is substantial. It's a little bigger here, to be honest, but it has, there are reasons for that that may not have much to do with gender discrimination. What happens is that the women who are most motivated to really get ahead, to lean in, as Sheryl Sandberg puts it, are not going to take a year off. They're not even going to take 6 months off. If they do, they will be returning to a work environment where somebody else didn't take that time. And inevitably, it's going to have an impact on their career trajectory. It doesn't have to have a huge one, and it may be a price that many, many women are willing to pay. In fact, I would argue that the evidence is that women are willing to pay that. One way that countries have tried to get around this is to introduce required paternity leave, or use it or lose it months off. That is, so in Sweden, you can get a year off between the two parents after a child is born, but fathers have to take at least 3 of those months, or you lose those 3 months. So that has increased the amount of time men are taking off, but women are still taking about 75% of the time off. And, yes, that will affect their future earnings and their future career.
You know, the Center for Work-Life Law in California, that was on Central Time earlier this week, did mention that some of these issues, like salaried workers only, people who may not want to take the full leave because they're afraid that will hurt them in the workplace, are all an outgrowth of letting businesses be in charge of this, and saying that if it were mandated by, you know, government policy, it wouldn't be so bad. What do you say?
Yeah, well, I think there's some truth to that. I think that if when you have a more laissez-faire, more if you give workers more autonomy, there are going to be people working crazy hours. I mean, that's what's going to happen if a company's culture allows it. And I don't know what to say about that, except that I think that that's a worthwhile trade-off. Many people maybe do not. And I think that, you know, most Americans really want, I think, a lot of autonomy to make these decisions for themselves. And believe, I would guess, and, you know, this is somewhat speculative, I've never seen a survey on it, but would believe that it's up to individual. They want as much autonomy in designing their own work-life arrangement as they possibly can get. And I think a federal mandate works against that in the end.
Let's take a call from Gary in Madison. Hi, Gary.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call, Joy. Mm-hmm. I have worked in that environment, and you touched on it, you know, just a second ago. The reality of this, and that's what I'd like to see, what's the reality, a study done of this after a year or two, is that anybody who wants to get ahead in that environment, they're not going to take a year off. A year is generations in that business. They're going to take at most a month, maybe 6 weeks, but they're really stretching it when they get out the 6 weeks, because so much has changed, so much has gone under the bridge that they are going to be out of it, and their future has been determined. So those people who really want to have a career in that business, want to move to the top, they're not going to be taking a year. It's crazy.
We have just a minute before a news break, Kay. So Netflix probably expects no one will take a year.
You know what? I think that's right. I think that's exactly right. I shouldn't say no one. I should say the people who are really interested in moving ahead at Netflix will not be taking a year. So I completely agree with the caller.
We are talking with Kay Heimowitz, senior fellow with the Manhattan Institute. She is the author of many books, most recently Manning Up, How the Rise of Women Has Turned Men into Boys. She's talking with us about parental leave policies in this country following the Netflix announcement that it's going to allow mothers and fathers a full year off, unlimited paid time off for the first year following a child's birth or adoption. Adobe and Microsoft also following suit with expanded but not quite as generous parental leave policies. Wondering if this is a trend or what, and welcoming your questions and your experiences. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. So what do you think of the new parental leave policy announced by Netflix last week? It would allow mothers and fathers unlimited paid leave for the first 12 months after a child's birth or adoption. Microsoft and Adobe followed Netflix's lead with expanded parental leave policies of their own. We wonder if you think this is the start of a very good thing or not. We wonder if you want the federal government or the state government to mandate that companies provide paid family leave or not. And we're wondering what questions or what kind of parental leave your workplace offers. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We are talking with a guest who is giving us her analysis of the issue and telling us also why she doesn't think this necessarily is going to become common in the United States or a widespread trend in the United States. Kay Heimowitz is a senior fellow with the Manhattan Institute, the author of many books, most recently Manning Up, How the Rise of Women Has Turned Men into Boys. Sean in Racine is with us next. Hi, Sean.
Hi, good morning. Just want to say that I'm in agreement for maternity leave for women. I had to laugh when I heard a woman say that, a caller earlier say that she felt that other women would take advantage of it and the burden would be placed on coworkers. I mean, when a male coworker of mine takes a sick day for a sick child, the last thing I'm thinking about is, oh, wow, this guy is selfish. I'm thinking, no, I want to help them and be there for them. And my second comment is, and I don't want it to be a loaded question, but what is the paid maternity leave policy for politicians in Wisconsin and in the federal level?
Well, I'm not. That probably varies. Do you have an answer to that, Kay?
Yeah. Well, I don't for Wisconsin, but the president recently announced that federal workers would get the, I believe, 12 weeks of paid leave. I don't know whether it's full pay. A lot of times, when you hear that there's paid leave, it's not full pay. That's not the case in the Netflix story. That is full pay. But I'm not sure about the federal government, whether they're actually giving their employees full pay for when they take leave. You know, as for the question of who's going to resent the disappearance of workers for leave, I think it's different to talk about a sick child who may take a day or two and someone who's gone for 4 or 6 or more months. It does have an impact on not just the other employees, but the business owners, of course, themselves.
Yeah, and I'm not absolutely sure for politicians. I will say, as a public employee in Wisconsin, I'm assuming it's the same policy that we have. We do not have necessarily specifically paid family leave, but you have sick time and vacation time, and you can use a combination of that time for as long as your supervisor, you know, approves it, and being able to cover the time off. You can have paid time off if you use the paid time that is a part of your benefits. Does that make sense?
Yes, Joy, I was going to say that I think that a lot of people, a lot of companies, actually that's the way it works out. There is no official maternity or paternity leave, but people often are able to arrange leave through either through sick leave, vacation leave, and in some states you're allowed to use disability as well.
Yeah. So, I mean, Kay, based on your, you know, your research in this area, would it behoove society for at least, and it sounds like you don't think the federal government should mandate paid leave, but you think states should consider mandating it or doing what they think is right for their state?
I think that it's something that they should be thinking about and vigorously debating. It is, I don't need to tell your listeners or you that the times have changed. We have women in the workforce. They are there to stay. Mothers are going to be working either by choice or necessity or both. We need to adapt to that. So I think that there needs to be that discussion everywhere, in every company and in every state. Now, I do think, I prefer the state by state approach for the reasons that I talked about before. Remember that if there is a state mandate, the difference is to a federal mandate is that insofar as it affects businesses who really can't handle it, they can move to a different state. So you get that feedback that you can't get on a federal level. In other words, if there are businesses who are, new businesses, let's say, where they're not able to provide all of the policies, all of the benefits that a state requires, they're not going to see a lot of new business, and that will be something that they'll have to learn from, and that other states can learn from. So I think we have the idea of the states as laboratories, experimental laboratories for understanding how policies work, and there's that advantage as well.
But wouldn't that federal mandate then level the playing field so, you wouldn't have that kind of tension happening between neighboring states?
I'm not sure that we don't want that tension. I think that tension is something that breeds innovation and new business. And I think that we do want that tension. I mean, we are in a competitive global economy, and we're in the United States also in a global state-by-state and region-by-region economy. And in this case, I would say that it seems to me it is a useful signaling device.
Yeah. What about for the good of the family and the good of the children, though? Is it going to be dependent on where I happen to live if I'm going to be able to take a good quality time off and afford to do so?
But of course we have choices about where to live as well. If a state has a good tax policy or a good leave policy or a good whatever policy, that's going to attract not just businesses but also residents as well, workers as well. So you could say the same thing about taxes. Maybe lower taxes are good for families too, who can then make the decision whether to be in the workplace for long hours or not. So there are different ways to think about the advantages that the federal system gives us.
Mm. Yeah, but all right. Well, we have other callers, so let me go to Steve and Race Lake next. Hello, Steve.
Yeah,
Steve. Yeah, speak right into your receiver, please.
Yep. I'm on a cell phone, so I'm going to make sure you can hear me. This is a personal experience working at the federal level. In the federal level, certain supervisors have great latitude to determine who can take time, especially if it's a single parent, to rush home. And I sympathize with one of those first callers. Many of us have experienced a situation where supervisors have given lots of latitude to individual single parents to rush off at the drop of a hat. And for the workers, we talked about different environments that you're in. We call it like the fish tank. And sometimes you got to be really careful because these single parents, they become very, very conscientious of other workers' time when they go left or right to do responsibilities of their own, and then it becomes a source of tension.
I don't know. You can't just tell your supervisor you're being unfair and knock it off.
Well, in the environment with, you know, complaints and everything at the federal level, there's all different types of complaints that you can do. You got to be really careful. But, yeah, it does become a source of controversy and tension. And depends on how the supervisor runs the office, too, and their yeah. views on. But the other thing that the conversation hasn't really touched on is the whole thing of small-town America. You know, Netflix, they're part of the new wealth. They have tremendous wealth to be able to provide these opportunities. In small-town America, you know, extended families, I see how extended families work together to make family work. And
What about that? Yeah, Netflix is the new wealth. Rich, it's not going to happen in small-town America, okay?
Well, I think I made that point earlier that these companies that are attracting and competing for top talent are in a position, they're often very wealthy companies, and they're in the position to offer these kinds of Cadillac policies. They can't do that for lower skilled workers. It will not pay them to do that. So, of course, in a lot of ways, the Netflix story is another story about inequality. I think that is definitely true.
Yeah, you do not see this becoming all that common in the U.S.
I don't think so. I think it will be common among in very elite jobs. And it's already becoming common in very elite jobs. You can hear many, many stories of people that get 6 months off full pay, that kind of thing, at law firms or banks. So that will be common, but it will not be common for lower-skilled workers who, as I mentioned before, are interchangeable and are not sought after in the same way. Also, a position in these companies is not as essential to their growth and thriving.
Yeah. In our final minute, any advice for workers who don't feel they have good parental leave available?
Well, look, I think that there's room for grassroots organizing on this, both at the state level and also among employees. I can understand why employees would insist that they get some kinds of benefits on this. But I also would encourage listeners to be thinking about these things from the point of view of the employer, because employers have to figure out, they have to negotiate how to handle the disappearance of an employee for months at a time, and that can be very difficult, particularly for small business people, and it's something that none of us, employers or employees, should take for granted.
Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Kay Heimowitz, Senior Fellow with the Manhattan Institute. Thanks to Christy Taylor and to Elizabeth Delaquest for producing this program. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.